I want to welcome everybody online today. We're going to turn in the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And then if you go all the way to the back of the book, to the last chapter of the book of the Bible, to Revelation chapter 22, we're going to read these verses. God's got something in store for us today. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In Revelation chapter 22, starting at verse number 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man take away from the words of this book, of the book of the prophecies, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I want to talk for a little bit this morning on God's got a plan. God's got a plan. You may be seated. Right from Genesis chapter 1 through to Revelation, God had a plan. And no matter what happened in the situations in life, and we know that not everything worked out the way God would have wanted them to work out, because I think God would have loved it, Adam and Eve, to start off in the Garden of Eden, and there'd been no sin entered into the world, and everything would have been fine right from the very beginning. But God knew, and God made a plan. No matter what the situations we find ourselves in this life, God's got a plan for our life. God has got a plan. That's what we want to talk about today. And God's plan for mankind started in Genesis chapter 1:1. In the beginning. In the beginning, God created. And we get asked the question, why did God create the world? You know, you think about it, God was almighty. He was everywhere. He had all the angels that worshiped him. Yet he created this world. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So why did God create the world? What was the purpose? And I think we can find that out. There's many scriptures that talk about it. God was looking for someone that was going to worship him because they wanted to, not because they were created to do it. Right. Mankind was created to worship God because of their choice, because they wanted to. Amen. That was God's plan. And in Revelation 22, we find that the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And him that athirst come. It's our choice. Right. And everything that God has done from the very beginning is for a purpose. It's for a plan that he has for each one of our lives. Mm-hmm. We're just going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verses 19 and 20 says this. I call heaven and earth on, or to I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that ye both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give them. We find a situation in, and we could start way back, right from Genesis, and the plan of Adam and Eve and the garden and sin that came in, and how that God's plan changed from the very beginning. But we find ourselves in a situation here where Israel has come to a place where God says, you got to make a choice. And in our walk with God, in every aspect of our walk with God, we make choices. Yeah. It's our choice. God made a plan, and his plan that one day we would spend eternity in heaven with him. But the plan is only there if we follow the plan. And you'll see that as we get in later into some of the things we're going to look at. But the choice was, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. And he says that the reason that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for God is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. He is everything we need. He is everything that we need. In Joshua, chapter number 24, verses 14 and 15 says this. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served and were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The choice is ours. God doesn't make us do it, but God wants, if we want to fulfill the plan of God for our lives, we need to follow God's plan. And God's plan is obeying everything that he says. We can all start out great. You know, some of us came into the church in early years, and we've basically been in the church all our lives. Some of us come in our teens. Some of us come in later on in life. But every one of us, when we started our walk with God, has the same choice. We choose what we're going to do. And it's got to come to a place that we make the decision that no matter what, I'm serving God. We'll look at Demas later on, but Demas was a man that started out. One place it says that Demas was a fellow laborer with Paul. Another place it says Luke and Demas salute you. But in another place it says Demas has forsaken me, loving this present world more than loving God. What happened in his life? The decision that he made during his life and in his Christian walk determined his outcome. And a lot of times in our Christian walk, that we find a lot of people, we all start off on the right pathway. We all come to God. We find ourselves at an altar of repentance. We find ourselves pouring out our heart to God and asking God for forgiveness. We get water baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of all those sins that we've done. We start our walk with God. God fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we get on fire for God. And then situations and trials and problems come along, and we find ourselves wondering whether it's worth the cost. We wonder, is it really worth all that I have to go through? Or people come along and, oh, you know, if you serve God, you're going to a can't-do church. That's what I was told. You're going to a can't-do. You can't go to movie theaters. You can't drink anymore. You can't party anymore. I'm sorry, I don't want to. There's some things that I have to make a decision on, and it's my choice. It's not someone else's. And so the choice has to be, God's got a plan, and he always had a plan, and he will always have a plan in our life. And it's up to us to fulfill that plan. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, and then verse 25. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. But the word of God endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. So we find that the very thing that we're looking for is the gospel. The very thing that we need more than anything else, and in our Christian walk, and we could go through and say that God's plan, and we could read scriptures on what repentance is and what baptism, what it means to be baptized, and we could read scriptures on all about what the Holy Ghost is and what the Holy Ghost does for you. But that's not where we want to go today. We want to look at what the Word of God has to say about the plan that he has for me and you. Because God's got a plan, and he wants every last one of us to serve him. See, we were not redeemed of corruptible things, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. When I think back and picture the cross of Calvary, and picture what God did for me, nothing is too hard in serving God. No trial that comes along is too hard. No circumstance in life is too hard when I look at the price that he paid for my salvation. To think that he poured out all those things just so I could be saved. Just so you could be saved. He was a lamb without blemish and without spot. He'd done no wrong. He never committed a sin. The only person that ever lived on this earth that had never committed sin, yet he took my place on Calvary. Amen. He said that your faith and hope might be in God. My faith and my hope is not in the world. It's not in the things of this world. It's in God. Because it's him. It's him. Jesus Christ himself that died on the cross of Calvary for my sins and said, I'll give you the power to overcome. Every circumstance in life, every trial you're going to face, he says, I'll give you the power to overcome. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. It's so important to understand the word is the thing that we have to obey. We don't obey doctrines and
things that the church comes along and says, well, this is what we expect out of you. No, the Word of God. That's what I have to obey. If it's in the book, I got to believe it. If it's in book, I got to do it. I don't just have to believe it, I got to do it. I have no choice. If I want to have that plan of God fulfilled in my life, I've got to obey everything that God has for me to do. People come along and say, oh, you know, it's too hard to serve God. I'll say it's not too hard to serve God. You just got to want to. You got to have that want to desire that says, no matter what, I'm going to keep going to church. No matter what anybody else does, I'm going to keep worshiping God. No matter what anybody else says, I'm going to keep on praying to God. No matter what anybody else says, I am going to serve my God because He's the only thing that can get me to heaven. That's why He started off with the promise in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. But in the end, it says, He says, it's the bridegroom's coming. And we're going to go to a greater place than we can ever imagine. But it's only if we fulfill everything that God has between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22. It's our choice. God has a plan for everyone that'll serve Him. His plan He made was easy to follow and easy to understand. Romans 3 and 23, what does it say? It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us started on the same boat, on the same track, same direction. We're all sinners, and we needed salvation. Matthew chapter 1. Verse number 21 through 23. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall bring forth a child, shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God came with the plan. He came with the plan. Jesus outlined the plan of salvation in Matthew chapter 7. And when we begin to look at these scriptures that we find here in chapter 7, we're going to read 21 through 23 first. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. First of all, not everybody's going to make heaven their home. Sad to say, not everybody that comes into this church building and hears the plan of salvation and responds to that plan of salvation and pours out their heart to God and get baptized and get filled with the Holy Ghost and starts their journey with God is going to make it. These people that he's talking about here in this scripture, he said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? That's letting me know these were people that were being used of God in the kingdom of God, but lost out. Because God didn't know them. Not everyone that hears is going to make heaven their home. The qualification to enter heaven is he that doeth the will of the Father.
That's what he says in that scripture. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The choice of making heaven our home depends on whether we obey God's voice. Whether we obey what God has written in the pages of the Word of God and say, God, I'm going to do it because you said it. Matthew 7:24-27 continues on. Wherefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built a house upon a rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and he beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Jesus was letting us know that it comes down to doing what he tells us to do. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. The qualifications of making heaven our home depends on our obedience to what God tells us. There's a lot of people in the world today, a lot of church people in the world today, that are satisfied with just going to church, hearing the Word of God, be feeling a little pat on their back, saying, well, at least you're paying your tithes and you're doing this, or you've got it made. The Word of God does not tell us that just by hearing we're going to make it. The Word of God tells us, he that doeth the will of the Father. He that heareth and doeth is the one that's going to make heaven their home. Today we find that these are some of the most convicting scriptures in the Word of God. For those that claim Christianity, but live by their own wills and their own opinions and their own ways and their own priorities, these scriptures will bring us face to face with God's plan for us, a sinner. And that's to do what God tells us to do. Not question it. I think it's some of the greatest men in the Word of God that we can read about. And we're going to look at some of their lives here in just a moment. But they remain true to God. No matter what the circumstances of life they faced, no matter what the trials that came along, no matter what problems they faced, they kept their eyes on the prize of heaven. And they said, no matter what I do, I'm going to keep my eyes on God, because that's the only hope I got. Because see, we have to understand, when we read the Word of God like this, and we see what the Word of God says, comes down to our eternity depends on what we do with the Word of God. It depends on what we do with the Word of God. If we reject God and the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and we end up losing everything and end up in hell, it's not his fault. God did everything he could to make it to where we could make heaven our home. He loves us. He cares for us. He's concerned about us. He'll bless us. If we'll just do what he tells us to do, he'll be there for us.
Amen.
But it's up to us. Do we love the gospel of Jesus Christ enough to say, I'm going to do everything Jesus tells me to do?
Because Jesus has made a plan for us. And that's our responsibility to do what he expects out of us. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, Peter standing up and preached on the day of Pentecost. People came from all around when they heard what was going on, and people were getting the Holy Ghost. People were speaking in tongues, and this guy said, well, he's speaking in my language, and that guy's speaking in my language, and aren't all these Galatians, aren't all these just the dumb people? They're not learned, but they're receiving something, and they're speaking in my language, and they're loving God. And when it was all said and done, Peter stood up and began to preach to them. Ye men of Judah, and ye men that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And then he went on to explain what was happening. And then he goes down to verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What is required of me? Then Peter said unto them, number one, repent. Without repentance, can't make heaven your home. Without pouring out and asking God to forgive you your past, because you're going to start brand new from that point on, and you need to repent of everything you've ever done. Then he said, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's why baptism is so important. To think that when you go down in the watery grave of baptism, everything that you'd ever done in your past is wiped clean from the slate that God has. Then he said, no, there's something more beyond that. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The plan was that we can receive everything we have need of. But we say, well, you know, it's kind of hard. You don't want to understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what I face every day in my walk. You don't understand the hurt that's in my heart when I understand that God's done this for me, but God, you don't understand the trials and the tests that I have to face. Yes, he does. He knows everything, and in fact, it says that he won't allow us to be tempted above which we are able to bear. So we can't use this as an excuse to say, God, it's too hard to serve you. It's too hard to pay that price. We got to believe we're a child of the King. And as a child of the King, God is going to be there for us. Every step of the way. Every trial and test is for your benefit. Can you imagine? Every trial and test you face is for your benefit. Tell that to Paul as he was beaten 5 times, 40 stripes save one. How, God? What good is me being whipped with that cat of nine tails till my backside is whipped wide open? And you say it's for my benefit. It's for his benefit. And it's for the benefit and for the will of God to be accomplished in each one of our lives. There is no circumstance that happens in our lives that God is not in control of. There will be no circumstances or situations that come our way that God won't bring you through. God knows what he's doing. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 28. Probably one of the greatest chapters for a child of the king. For I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I don't understand why we have to face some of the things we do. But I do know that God knows what he's doing. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we've heard this scripture many, many times. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The plan of God is no matter what happens in your life, it's for an expected end. That expected end is one day when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, and we that are alive and remain are caught up together to meet him in the air. That's the expected end. We're going to go and spend an eternity with him. To give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. He said, you pray, I'll be there. I'll be listening. Hard sometimes to picture. Because we go through things. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll agree. There's times in your Christian walk when you're just all alone with God. You've been fighting the battle and things haven't been going the way you expect them to go. And the trials just seem to overwhelm you. And you get to that place when you just cry out to God, God, why? Why do I have to go through all this? Why do I have to face all these trials? Why do I have to face these circumstances, God? So that I can give you an expected end, is what God's saying. If you'll follow my plan, if you'll do what I ask you to do, I'll be there for you and I will give you an expected end. I'm looking forward to that expected end. See, King Saul started off very humble before God. We're not going to turn there. Don't have the time to go through each one of these. Just want to go through a few people that started off living for God. King Saul was, before he was King Saul, he was Saul. He was humble. In chapter 9, God tells Samuel, he said, I'm going to send you to a man. And you're going to anoint him to be the king. Israel wants a king, and I'm going to give you this man. And when time came for Saul to anoint Saul as king, Samuel, where's Saul? Anybody seen Saul? No, haven't seen Saul. God, where's Saul? God spoke to him and said, he's hiding in the stuff. I can't, when I read that, I thought he was just hiding in the stuff. Well, he was hiding. We get sometimes hiding in the stuff. Away from God when God wants us out front. Don't ever hide from God. Don't ever walk away from God. Don't ever say, God, it's too hard to serve you. So they went and found him where he is hiding, and they brought him out and they anointed him king. Just 4 chapters later, we find a different situation. Saul made a bad mistake. Samuel told Saul, he says, you go and you wait. I'm going to come and I'm going to offer the sacrifices. Just wait. And in chapter 13, verses 7 through 9, it says the people were trembling. They were afraid. Things weren't going the way they wanted. Samuel had said, wait 7 days. Saul waited 7 days and Samuel didn't come. So Saul began to think, like sometimes we do, we know what's best. And he said, you know what? I'm king. I'll make the sacrifice. And he did. And verses 13 through 14 declares the outcome of not obeying God's voice. The kingdom was taken away from Saul and given to a man, and that's the scripture says, a man after God's own heart. Little did they know that it was David, a man after God's own heart. See, God knows everything. God knows the very beginning. He knows the very end. And he wants us to understand that there is an expected end to those that will serve God. But we must keep the commandments of God until the very end if we want to make heaven our home. Saul lost out because he thought, I know better than God. Don't ever question God. If God says something to you, just do it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. 3 young men that loved God, served God, obeyed God. They were placed into a life and death situation. When the king came, he said, I want every one of you. He'd invited all the princesses and the leadership and that out to his great big idol that he had made. And he was looking at that with eyes gleaming with pride of what he had accomplished and what he had done. And he said, okay, every one of you, all my leadership, all the people that are out here, we're going to play some music over here, and I want every one of you out here to bow down to that idol that I've got made. Because look at it, it's beautiful. But I'm going to tell you what, if you don't bow down worship this idol, the fiery furnace is over here, and that's where you're headed for. So just to give you a little warning, you best bow down worship, because you don't want to die, do you? Kind of wanting people to be afraid. Just like today in our society, government wants us to be afraid of COVID. Want us to be afraid of all the things that are happening. Just obey us because we know what's best. That's what the king was saying. Obey me because I know what's best. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 17 and 18 of chapter 3 said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image. Can you imagine? Young boys standing before the mighty king and looking right straight at that king, that worldly leadership, and saying, we know our God is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't deliver us alive, at least we're going to be delivered out of your hands. We're not going to bow down and worship. We're not going to serve your God. We serve the Almighty God. Well, he wanted to give them a second chance. Tell you what, boys. We'll just forget that it all happened. You just bow down and worship this time when I get the guys to play the music again. You just bow down. It'll be all right. No, they didn't. But see, when you obey God's voice and you do what God tells you to do, as the king got so furious, so mad, he got them to bind those young men's hands behind their back with ropes, took the chosen men, his guards, and said, you march him up to the top of that thing and you cast him into the burning fiery furnace. It says, while those guards were taking him up to cast him into the burning furnace, they died from the heat. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went down into the fiery furnace. But it wasn't long till the king went to look. He looks. Don't misunderstand anything. The world knows who's in control. The devil knows who's going to win. The devil knows that God's winning the battle. The devil knows that he only got a little short time. He wants to destroy whosoever he can. But it's up to us to keep true to God. And those young men kept true to God. And when the king got up there and looked down inside there, he said, did we not cast three men down in there? Yes, we cast three. Well, then who is that fourth one that looks like the Son of God? The difference between Saul, King Saul, that made a decision that I'm good enough, I'll make the sacrifice because the prophet hasn't come in time, and lost out everything in his life. So these three young men, that you know what? We don't care. We're still going to serve God. Daniel, a couple chapters later, chapter 6, he knew the decree that was made. Nobody could worship any other person than the king. But Daniel understood the principle, I've got to obey God's word. And every last one of us has got to obey the word of God. Because if we don't obey the word of God is going to judge us. Daniel prayed like he had always prayed, knowing he knew he was going to the lion's den. But you know what? It didn't bother him. He didn't get upset about it. He just did what he always did. Because he knew a God that was on his side. And sometimes we think that, you know, if I just let down on the Word of God a little bit, people will like me. People will think that I'm a good person. Don't be so strict. Don't say that you must repent of your sins. Don't say you must be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins. Don't say you must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just love God. That's all God expects. That's not what the Word says. The Lord's Word says we must. In every aspect of our Christian walk that's written in the pages of the Word of God, we must do it if we're going to make heaven our home. And we need to let the world know they must. Daniel prayed. His accusers, they got all excited. We finally got Daniel. He's going to the lion's den, and he's not coming back. King, he tried all day long trying to figure out some way to get out of it, but the law of the Medes and Persians, they couldn't change it. So he brings Daniel to the lion's den. And as he's standing before the lion's den, about to be cast in, the king says to Daniel, "Thy God whom thou servest, he can save you." Down into the lion's den Daniel went. King spent a very restful night, didn't sleep at all. Gets up in the morning, runs to the lion's den, rolls back the thing. "Oh, Daniel! Oh, King, live forever. Everything's all right. Get a rope, get Daniel out of there." All because he followed God's plan. God's got a plan. I don't know what all God's plans are for every one of our lives. I don't know the direction that God's got for where he's going to take us. I don't know the problems we're going to face in the next 5, 10 years. But I know God's able. I know that if we'll remain true to God, that God can save us just like he saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just like he saved Daniel, just like he saved Paul. As I say, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to have this list. Starting at verse number 23, Paul, man that was against God, against everything to do with God, put Christians to prison, had them thrown to the lion's den, all kinds of cruel things that he did to those people. But on the road to Damascus, he met with the Master, the King of Kings. "Who art thou, Lord?" "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." "But Lord, what do I have to do?" "Well, you just continue on into the city. I'm going to send somebody. He's going to tell you what you must do." And when God told the prophet, the man of God, to go down and talk to Saul, his name was changed to Paul, he said, "You go down there, because I've let him know all the things that he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake." This is just a list of a few of the things. Verse number 23 of chapter 11. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in depths, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep.
In journeyings often, in perils of robber, perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. Paul faced quite a list of things on his journey with God. But he knew there was a plan. And he kept serving God. I don't know about the second time they would have lashed me with 40 stripes save one. Might have been the time that most of us would have said, you know, that's enough. I don't want that again. Beaten with rods 3 times. Stoned and left for dead. Yet he kept the promise of God that God gave him, that no situation in life was going to turn him around. No problem, no trial that he was going to face was going to cause him to say, I've had enough. In our Christian walk, we must determine to go all the way, no matter the cost. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. God has called us to fight the good fight of faith. In 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, at the close of his life, he made this statement, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only to me, he says, but not only unto me, but all them that also love his appearing. God's got a promise for you. God's got a crown awaiting you. God's got a plan for your life. Fulfill God's plan in your life. Don't ever quit serving God. Don't ever walk away from God and say it's too hard. The Bible says, he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. Don't quit until the last breath is out of your mouth. Heaven will be worth the price that you pay to make heaven your home. Let's stand. God, we're so thankful, Jesus, for the opportunity that we have.